We have a special guest here in the studio this morning. Sarah, good morning.
Good morning, Bruce. Thanks for having me. Wonderful to have you here.
I know you've travelled some distance to be with us this morning, so thank you for doing that. And Sarah Parkinson, by profession, is a physio. She is an avid traveller. Keen baker, that's interesting. Mm-hmm. So you like cooking and things.
I do, yes.
Yes, terrific. And she's a young woman who has made some amazing decisions in the last... Well, the last couple of years, at least, probably longer than that, Sarah, but that for many people would just be decisions that would be impossible to make. And before we hear about those decisions, we better know a little bit about you, Sarah. So we know that you live in the eastern suburbs, but have you always been in Melbourne, or did you grow up somewhere else?
No, I grew up in Melbourne, so I've been in Nunawading all my life. I did have a brief stint living in Austria, in Vienna.
Okay, great.
Yeah, to practice my German.
Okay.
But aside from that, yeah, I've been based in Melbourne since.
Listeners, we won't spring any German on you this morning. I know there's German-speaking people out there, but I'm not one of them, so sorry about that. Sarah, we talked about the Rotary Dogs Day out. Do you have pets or things like that? Do you have particular interests?
My family has a pet.
Okay.
His name is Levi. He's a German Shepherd.
Oh, there you go.
Husky, so very big and fairy. But yeah, it's probably more my brother's dog rather than mine.
Terrific. And other interests or other things about you that people might find interesting before we tell the story?
Yeah, sure. Well, I'm a pretty big sports person.
Okay.
Being a physio, that was probably one of the things that led into that career choice.
Yes.
So enjoy getting outdoors, hiking, out in nature. As you said, avid traveller, although I don't have my next trip planned just yet, so suggestions are welcome.
All right, there you go, listeners. We'll see if we can suggest some things to Sarah during the program this morning. Fantastic. Sarah, just to whet people's appetite, you made some decisions last year that were, for many of us, almost scary. Just before we go to the first song you've selected, just whet our appetite a little on one of the decisions that you made last year.
It involved not shopping too much at all.
There you go. Not shopping. Now, you've just put some of our listeners off, but for the rest of us, we'll be back after this song.
In my wrestling and in my doubts, in my failures, you won't walk out. Your great love will lead me through. You are the peace in my troubled sea. Whoa, you are the peace in my troubled sea. In the silence, you won't let go. In the questions, your truth will hold. Your great love will lead me through. You are the peace in my troubled sea. Whoa, you are the peace in my troubled sea. My lighthouse, my lighthouse, shining in the darkness, I will follow you. Oh, my lighthouse, my lighthouse, I will trust the promise. You will carry me safe to shore. Tomorrow brings, with each morning I'll rise and sing. My God's love will lead me through. You are the peace in my troubled sea. Whoa, you are the peace in my troubled sea. Oh, you are my light, my lighthouse, my shore, safe to shore,
I'm Bruce Argyle. You're with Community Conversations here on Yarra Valley FM 99.1. Thanks for your company. And if you're a regular listener to our show, great to have your regular company. If you're a first-time listener, thanks for joining us. And I know, because I've just met our special guest, Sarah Parkinson, I know that you're going to find this morning's interview, this morning's conversation, really fascinating. Sarah, you made some decisions that most of us would have real trouble with. I'm not suggesting you didn't either, but just whet our appetite. What was the motivation before you made some tough decisions last year? Why did you decide that you were going to, for example, not go shopping?
I think for me, over the last couple of years, I have been learning more and more about global poverty.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a cause that's quite close to my heart. The more I learned about this, the more I came to understand that people in developing countries, people who make our clothes, who make our products, are actually often working and living in conditions that really aren't acceptable at all.
Yeah.
And so the more I came to learn about this, the more I recognized that my choices in what I buy and how much I buy are not only having an impact on me and my consumption, but also on other people as well. And people in places that we might not ever visit, might not ever see,
yes,
but they're real people.
Fantastic. Yeah. And so I had a look at your website, and one of the comments that you make on there is that you have enough, and that that worth is not measured in the quantity of the things that you have.
Mm.
So you made this decision, you made this what some of us might call a New Year's resolution or something, mm-hmm, or other, probably in the middle of the year, but that you would not go shopping at all, or just tell us about that decision.
Yeah, so it was a New Year's resolution, and I do love a good challenge. So I initially thought to myself, okay, if I don't want to partake in this system that is exploiting people and having negative impacts on the environment, one of the biggest things that I can do is change my purchasing behavior. So initially I thought that I would not buy anything new, so no new clothing, shoes or accessories for, yes, a year, but that I maybe would allow myself the occasional op shop trip. But even that didn't sit quite well with me. So I decided to only use what I already had and not buy anything new to me,
wow,
either from a new retailer or from an op shop. So,
wow.
Mm.
So you started that in January last year?
Yes, January 2019.
Wow. Okay. And we're going to hear how you went in a moment. Mm. But I'm amazed. Were people, before we hear how that journey unfolded, were people surprised, shocked, horrified?
I think
supportive.
The people who knew me probably were unsurprised at my choice to do that, because it's been a bit of a journey, tackling some of these lifestyle choices. Sure. But I'm also a physiotherapist, and I was telling a lot of my clients about this decision, and most of them said to me, "Oh, there's no way I could do that."
Yep.
So I would have gentle conversations with them about maybe some of the things that they could do, but they were the most shocked, I think.
Okay, because you've also got some amazing stories to tell about waste as well. I mean, wasteful, ways of living and so on, as part of that, isn't it? So
exactly. Yeah.
Let's have your second song selection, which is Glenn Kaiser, "Troubled World."
Day, picking peas from a vine where the honeybees play, stealing fresh fruit from the garden out there. Never a worry and never a care, but it didn't stay that way. In my trouble, delivering papers in the city heat, heard the cry of the jungle, stinging lead and concrete. They were screaming for justice, burning downtown. I felt the frustration coming fast and loud, but it didn't stay that way. In my troubled world, I marched and I shouted, I listened and thought, surrendered to despair and the drugs I bought. Buying and selling a world of pain, try to take my life in a wind of rain, but it didn't stay that way. In my troubled world,
Bruce Argyle here on Community Conversations. My very special guest here in the studio is Sarah Parkinson. Sarah is, well, by profession, a physio, but her story this morning is more about lifestyle decisions that she has made that any of us would find incredibly challenging. And just before the last song, Sarah was saying that she has had a lot of support from clients and friends and family. Talk us through, Sarah, the journey over the 12 months of non-purchasing. What were the particular challenges as you went along?
Yeah, so I suppose I'll start by saying that I'm not a massive shopper in the first instance. I am a saver.
Yes.
So it's not something I do a lot of. So for me personally, it was probably an easier decision than for others who would do a lot of shopping. Although it didn't come without its challenges nonetheless. I think probably the biggest one was when it came to, I had a couple of friends who got married.
Yes.
And so I don't know what it is like for men, but for women, it's almost this social expectation to wear something new, something that you haven't worn before, something that people haven't seen you in before, to events like weddings. And so that was a real, challenge to grapple with. So what I ended up kind of doing to get around that, if you like, was just ask some friends whether they'd be happy for me to borrow a dress.
Wow.
And that really was quite a joyful experience, getting to share that process of, you know, trying on friends' dresses and things, and just a different dynamic to the friendships it added. But I think another of the more challenging sides to the experiences was there are a couple of brands that I really admire for how they go about doing their business in a very socially responsible manner.
Mm-hmm.
And so a couple of these clothing brands had quite big sales, and I was very torn as to whether or not to partake in those sales. But yeah, ultimately I didn't need to. So yes, those were probably the two key challenges.
Yes, fantastic. So in a way, if we use the analogy, you're kind of swimming against the current. You're making decisions that many people would not make. We are certainly in a consumer society where things are, you know, more things and more things and more things. Part of the journey having those conversations with your friends and people that you interacted with as well? I mean, was that part of the journey for you?
Definitely, yeah. And I think one of the reasons that I did this in the first instance was not just for my own personal sense of achievement in doing this. It was to be a conversation starter.
Great.
With people to get others thinking about consumption. Because as you say, it's... yeah, a lot of us identify as consumers above anything else.
Mm.
And I think there's a lot more flourishing that can happen when we step away from that self-designated title of consumer and choose to live a different way, a simpler way.
Mm.
Yeah, so it was definitely part of it.
You're also passionate about waste and the pollution that is happening in the world and climate change. I mean, they're all interconnected here, aren't they, Sarah?
They are. Yes. Yeah. So I'm not sure whether you've seen The War on Waste. That was a series on the ABC.
Yes.
Over the last
scary year. And amazing.
Yeah. So there was one episode there about Australians' fashion consumption choices, and I think the statistic was every 10 minutes, 6 tons of clothing are thrown into landfill. And so fashion is quite intimately connected with this idea of waste, and waste itself, when it is in developing countries, it's often burnt, or in Australia and Western countries where we have the facilities like TIPS, it degrades, but all that is contributing to greenhouse gas emissions. So there are so many complex linkages between all these things. Yeah, minimizing waste was also a key part of the decision in not buying.
You could do some calculations on how much waste you've saved, but we'll do that during the next song, which is your selection, Ed Sheeran, Beautiful People.
Sundown and they all come out. Lamborghinis and they're renting hummus. The party's on, so they're heading downtown. Everybody's looking for a come up, and they wanna know what you're about. Me in the middle with the one I love, and we're just trying to figure everything out. We don't fit in well, 'cause we are just ourselves. I could use some help getting out of this conversation. Yeah, you look stunning, dear, so don't ask that question here. This is my only fear, that we become beautiful people. Top designer clothes, front row fashion shows. What you do and who'd you know inside the world? Beautiful people, champagne and roll up nose, breathing up some broken holes. Surrounded but still alone, let's leave the party. That's not who we are. We are, we are, we are. We are not beautiful. Yeah, that's not who we are.
last night and we made it nowhere. Now I see stars in your eyes when we're halfway there. Now I'm not fazed by all the lights and flashy cameras, 'cause with my arms around you, there's no need to care.
We don't fit in well. We are just ourselves. I could use some help getting out of this conversation here. Your looks done in pills. Don't ask that question here. This is my only fear that we become
beautiful people.
Top designer clothes, front row of fashion shows. What you do and who you know inside the world.
My very special guest here in the studio this morning is Sarah Parkinson, and we're talking about ethical decision making, we're talking about waste, and we're talking about consumerism, and we're talking about different lifestyle decisions and choices. Wow, a big topic, Sarah, we've taken on this morning. But let's go back to your decision. You made a decision just for 12 months at the time that you would not buy anything new. You looked at op shops, I think, along the way a little bit. Yeah. What's your view on op shops, just as an aside? What do you think about op shops?
I think they're great. I mean, it's essentially recycling, isn't it? So
yes,
we're reducing our demand for constantly new things all the time by using op shops. So I love them.
Okay. And often supporting not-for-profit community organisations along the way as
correct,
well.
Correct, exactly. Yeah, so yeah, giving back to community groups through your purchasing as well.
Yeah, so you got to the end of the 12 months.
Mm-hmm.
Did you get there? Did you manage to?
Yeah, so I got there. I didn't buy anything new. I tried my absolute hardest not to buy anything from the op shop. There was one occasion where I needed new bathers. So you can't really do much without bathers. So I actually looked for them in the op shop, and someone had put new bathers into the op shop. So I managed to.
And they happened to be your size.
They happened to be my size. So I went to 6 op shops to find these bathers, but they're probably my favorite bathers that I've ever got before. So, so there was one op shop purchase, nothing new.
In 12 months?
In 12 months,
so
yeah.
How did you manage, can I be personal and say, how did you manage birthday presents and Christmas presents and things like that?
Yeah, so I didn't include gifts in my year of no shopping. So it was more for me. That being said, in my choices for gifts, I did try to choose really deliberately ethical presents or experiences rather than just kind of consuming without thinking. So bringing that conscious consumerism to the front of mind in choosing presents for other people as well.
Terrific. On your, I think it's your Facebook page or wherever I read the story this morning, mm-hmm. Your story is sort of outlined there, and you've said that one of the reasons for doing this was to start conversations. And so we're really appreciative that you're here having a conversation with us and with our listeners this morning. How have the conversations gone? And next question is, what's next for 2020, I suppose? But how have the conversations gone? Have people been supportive?
People have been really receptive. I think a lot of people have thought was a quite radical decision. But they're more than happy to have a conversation about it to, be open to the idea of doing things in a different way. Mm. So I think overall, there has been some really productive conversation around it.
Mm.
It's also I've utilized this choice to kind of bring others along for the ride as well. So throughout last year, I hosted a clothes swap. So I got together a bunch of friends from all different spheres of life, which was lovely in itself, having different friends mixed together. But we all brought clothes that were still in good condition, but no longer they weren't things that we required anymore. And we all did a bit of a swap. So I think there were, a dozen people who came, and each person was able to, swap a few things. And wow. Then everything left over, we put to the op shop. So that was a really beautiful way of having a conversation as well about why are we even doing this? Because until that point, I'd never done anything like that before. And I don't think the vast majority of them had either. But since then I've had another op shop, and more people came, and
great.
People have definitely been receptive.
So to our listeners this morning, what would you say in terms of a challenge, or to myself, or, be personal if you like, tell me to, stop wearing new shirts or something, or to Cora, or to anyone listening this morning, what would your challenge really be, Sarah?
I think ultimately the challenge is to be mindful in what we consume, being aware of where our products are coming from, who they're impacting in the process of their production and distribution, manufacture, just recognizing that it doesn't come from nowhere. Somebody actually is producing our clothes, and when we throw them away, it actually isn't away. There is a place that it goes that, depending on where you put those clothes or products, can impact on the environment in a negative or a more positive way. So thinking about participating in the process of consumption very mindfully, as opposed to, I suppose,
just going with the flow or something.
Exactly, yeah, which is what the vast majority of us do, because that's what our culture does.
Yes.
I suppose asking the question, where does this shirt come from? Do I need it?
Yes.
Simple
yes,
questions.
Yes.
But they open up a little bit of a can of worms. Yes. It's an exciting can of worms.
Let's talk a little more about that can of worms after our next song, which you've selected for us, which is You Two. I still haven't found what I'm looking for. Well, that's an interesting choice, isn't it?
I heal.
My very special guest here on Community Conversations this morning, though, is Sarah Parkinson. And Sarah and I are talking about ethical behaviour, consumerism, lifestyle decisions, and some of the big decisions she's made. And just off air, Sarah, you were saying that you even made a trip to Cambodia, which was quite enlightening for you. Tell our listeners a bit about that.
Yeah, so in 2017, I went with a group of people from my church to Phnom Penh, in the capital of Cambodia, to learn more about trafficking and exploitation that's happening.
Scary stuff.
Mm. Yeah, it's big stuff. So part of that trip was meeting with a women's organization supporting factory workers. And that was pretty harrowing to hear their stories of those women who had essentially been trapped by having their identification taken by the employers of the company.
What we call sweatshops or something.
Yeah, yes, yeah, exactly. Yes. So this organization was working with these women. And so despite the real genuine struggle, there were also stories of hope. And so I do remember one of the leaders of this organization telling us that when Westerners, who are ultimately the end user of many of these products, boycott companies to make choices in preference for more ethically manufactured clothing, it does actually have a flow-on effect on the practices of those factories that are maybe not up to scratch.
Yes, yes. So how does that happen?
I think there are bodies of collaborative organisations who represent the rights of people working in these sweatshops. And
great.
So in Cambodia, there's a cooperation of, I think it was around 20 different sweatshop organisations, and women within that who were empowered to speak out, I suppose demanding that their basic human rights be
respected.
Yeah. Mm. So that's part of it, and that people on the ground in the local context being empowered to really use their voice. Then the other part of it is what we do here as the consumer, if you like.
Yes.
And so I read recently that if we do choose to boycott brands on the basis of their, their ethics, I suppose.
Their unethical behaviour or unethical practices.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's really important that we actually let them know. So something as simple as writing a letter or shooting them off an email saying, look, I really, I would like to buy from your brand, but it just doesn't sit well with my conscience. So I'm choosing to go elsewhere, so that there are at least aware of consumer desires.
Great.
Because ultimately that's what they're wanting to satisfy.
Yes.
So a boycott, yeah, that's a good step, but also telling the companies why you are choosing to boycott them in preference for a different, more ethical company is really, really powerful.
Mm. If you've just joined us, you're listening to Sarah Parkinson, and we're talking about, consumerism, making choices that, are sustainable and respectful. And before the last couple of songs, Sarah was telling us her story of the last 12 months, where she made a decision to buy no new items at all for 12 months and succeeded. Sarah, well done. I'm interested, though, to be devil's advocate, if all of us didn't shop, if none of us shopped anymore, wouldn't that affect the living of, say, shopkeepers and others as well? I mean, that's a tough question, but what's your thinking about that?
It is a very, very tough question, yeah. I think the reality is that there are times when we have to buy new things. So we will always have to buy things. But in doing that, it's coming with a mindset of, okay, how do I do this as ethically as I can? And just being mindful that the dominant way of thinking in society, which is like capitalism, consumerism.
Yes.
Just questioning it. That's all we know here. And it's pretty confronting to question the way things are done.
It is, isn't it?
I think it's an important conversation that we have with ourselves, so that the decisions we are making are in line with what we truly believe and what we value. So, if everyone were to stop shopping, it would obviously have flow-on effects for the economy and for real people owning real businesses. But I think the reality is that we're not going to stop shopping. But what we can do is we can use our purchasing power for good.
Shop ethically.
Yes.
Excuse me.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
So the big question that follows that one is how do we find how do we ascertain whether a company, a business is ethical or not, and how do we find those?
Yeah, so it can seem pretty overwhelming at the start. There's so many things to consider, but there are some really good resources online where you can search, for example, with regard to fashion, there's the Ethical Fashion Guide by Baptist World Aid. So that ranks hundreds of different fashion companies from A to F. So A being as ethical as you can kind of get with regard to environmental impacts, whether or not workers are actually treated well,
yes,
whether they're fair trade products. So Ethical Fashion Guide is a good one for clothing. And then there's a great website called Shop Ethical, which I do believe is an Australian website that has really audited all sorts of different products. So from our kitchen like items to bathroom items, mm-hmm. Like sheets and footwear and all sorts of things, electronics. There's definitely one for chocolate.
Wow, I'm going to have to spend a bit of time online today.
Yeah,
I can see,
so
Sarah.
It is a big process. But I think the tip is to start with one thing. So what's that thing that your first question? So maybe it's, okay, where does this t-shirt come from? And actually exploring that,
mm-hmm,
and then
mm-hmm.
It's stepping stones. Can't do it all at once.
No,
it's one step at a time.
Fantastic. You're listening to Sarah Parkinson, and we're going to have another song, which is Mumford & Sons, The Cave.
It's empty in the valley of your heart. The sun, it rises slowly as you walk away from all the fears and all the faults you've left behind. The harvest left no food for you to eat. You cannibal, you meat eater, you see. But I have seen the same, I know the shame in your defeat. But I will hold on hope, and I won't let you choke on the noose around your neck. And I'll find strength in pain, and I will change my ways. I'll know my name as it's called again. Other things to fill my time. You take what is yours and I'll take mine. Now let me at the truth which will refresh my broken mind. So tie me to a post and block my ears. I can see widows and orphans through my tears, and know my call despite my faults and despite my growing fears. But I will hold on hope. Of your cave, walking on your hands, and see the world hanging upside down. You can understand dependence when you know the Maker's hand. So make your sirens call and sing all you want. I will not hear what you have to say, 'cause I need freedom now, and I need to know my life as it's meant to be.
Well, it's the 12th of March, and in exactly 1 month from now, 12th of April, Easter Sunday, and those of you who celebrate it, we're in the middle of Lent, of course, and some of you will have given up things for Lent. My very special guest this morning, Sarah Parkinson, has given up shopping for a whole, not just 40 days, but for a whole 12 months and survived. And you're looking well, and you're looking well-dressed, Sarah.
Thank you. All op shop attire.
Fantastic. So the thing that you were just saying to me off air was that you hope that through this whole process that people will, more than anything, start thinking or perhaps stop and think about their buying behavior, their ethical decision making. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I suppose buying less, choosing well, and making things last has really been the mantra that's come out of this year of no shopping for me. So that's a mentality that I would like really encourage people to think about.
Mm. What's next? We're almost out of time. 2020, 2021 and beyond. But what's next for Sarah Parkinson?
Well, I am attempting to go, I'm not going to call it zero waste because that seems quite unattainable, but as minimal waste as what I can. So reducing plastic in my household, trying to reduce the environmental impact that I have through those choices as well. Yeah, so that's my Lent activity.
Well
no
done.
Plastic packaged food. It's going well so far.
Okay. And that's even a challenge sourcing some of that sometimes.
Correct, yeah. Yep. Yeah, you have to think outside the box, yeah.
And the waste, of course, we haven't got time today, but, you know, the food waste, as you talked about, the clothing, you know, that ends up in the tip and so on, but food's even worse, I think.
Yes, I think it's one third of food purchased by Australians ends up in the bin, which is huge.
Listeners, we hope that this morning's conversation has been pause. Provides you with an opportunity to stop and think about your behaviours in terms of purchasing and ethical decision-making. Sarah, thank you so much for being, shall we say, a provocateur, someone to challenge us to think about how we live and buy and so on.
Thanks for having me.
It's been really wonderful, and I think there's another hour conversation that we could have another day, so we might invite you back, but we'll hear how your waste is going. Thank you. And listeners, thanks for being a part of the conversation, and look forward to speaking with you again next week. We'll have Rosalie with us next week, and another conversation.